Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Hear the holy and true word of the living God. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. A number of years ago, I was at a retreat and I was talking with someone and we began discussing the topic of the seed of Abraham, and I began saying a few of my beliefs regarding that, and another friend was listening into this conversation and he appeared to be getting a little bit disturbed at what I was saying. And so he said, "Can we meet tomorrow to talk some more about this?" And the next day we did meet and talk, and we talked over a period of time, and as I was talking about this very text here among some others, this friend of mine got this aghast look on his face and he spluttered out, "You're dangerous." And I said, "Wow, that's quite a reaction from a friend." He told me flat out my understanding of the seed of Abraham meant that I was dangerous, and that when I taught the scripture it was a dangerous thing, because he so vehemently disagreed with what I was saying. What is it that I was saying to him? What does it have to do with we've been looking at Christ as the focus and the fulfillment of the Old Testament? And starting last week, we've been looking at this issue. We've seen Jesus in relation to everything imaginable in the Old Testament except for the nation of Israel. And we've now been looking at the nation of Israel. We saw that Israel was the Son of God, but who's the true Son of God? Jesus. Israel was a type and a shadow of the true Son. But the most common reference to Israel that people would use today, and in fact biblically, is that Israel's the seed of Abraham. What is the relationship, if any, between Jesus and the seed of Abraham, and how does that apply to us today? That's what we want to try and look at, and we'll discern if I really am dangerous or if in fact I'm trying to get something that's profoundly biblical. Again, I want to begin by saying many believers disagree with me on some of these issues. I want to be kind and gracious to them, but I want to be in obedience to the Word of God. And what I want to look at is not what the traditions of men say, but what the Scripture says regarding the seed of Abraham. So let's take a look at this. Notice here, Paul, in this statement, says the Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So he's quoting from Scripture. And in fact, we know where the Scriptures are. There's a list of them from Genesis here. Tim, if you can put them up. There are actually five total scriptures he could be quoting from in Genesis. They all say the same thing. So I just picked three of them. In the coming weeks, we will look at all of these texts. But they all say basically the same thing. And here's what the texts are. In Genesis 12, 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." Now I want you to notice the NIV will use the term sometimes seed, sometimes descendant or descendants, and sometimes offspring. It is the same exact Hebrew or Greek term in every case. The Hebrew term is zerah. The Greek term is spermos, from which we would obviously get the term sperm. And they just simply meant seed. So when it says here offspring, it's the same exact word as Paul's using in the book of Galatians. The term in both cases is spermos in the Greek, and in the Hebrew it's zerah. So he says, "To your offspring I will give this land." In Genesis 13, 15, "All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring," or the other translation is "and your seed." That's the exact literal phrase that Paul uses, forever. And Genesis 24, 7, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring," or seed, "I will give this land." And again, there are a couple other references in Genesis chapter 17 that use the exact same phrase. Now, Paul here is noting, he's saying, I want you to pay attention. It doesn't say to your offsprings or to your seeds, but and to your seed. But if you're a good student of the Bible, you might want to sit up and question what Paul's saying there. Because the fact is, obviously, the word seed in our language, as well as in the Greek and the Hebrew, is what's known as a collective singular. If I hold 100 kernels of corn up here, I can still easily refer to this as seed, even though there's 100 individual kernels. So you might say, well, Paul, you're getting a little disingenuous here, aren't you? Because clearly this word could mean a great group of people, not just one individual. And for example, we know that the word is used that way in the Abraham account. Consider Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, one of the most famous verses in the Old Testament. The Lord takes Abram outside and he tells him, look up at the heavens and count the stars. Now, is there one star in the heavens or many? Many. And the Lord says, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Same word, zerah or spermos. Same exact, it's a singular noun. But the whole point of this is, how many offspring are there going to be? An untold number of them. And yet Paul is saying, and these other ones he's saying, but that's talking about one person. Now, and I want you to see that we can further make this a little bit muddier by the fact that Paul quotes these verses in the New Testament and references it to many people. Consider these couple of verses. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Paul is quoting this one that we just saw in Genesis 15, and he says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Notice it's not even many individuals, it's many nations full of individuals. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Same word, zerah or spermos. So Paul here is using it as a multiple. In Galatians 3:29, which is from the scripture reading of this morning, the same chapter as the text that I'm looking at this morning. Paul says, if you, and in the Greek, it is a plural. Okay, we can't tell in English again, but in Greek it's clear. This is a plural you. It's y'all. If y'all belong to Christ, then y'all are able. See, Southern is the way we should all talk. Amen. If we all spoke Southern, we wouldn't have these problems. We'd be much closer to God's holy word. Then y'all are Abraham's seed. It's the same word, exact same word he used in Galatians 3. And he says, and heirs. Is heirs singular or plural? Plural, just like the yous. So Paul seems to be being a little bit disingenuous here, because in the same chapter he uses the word in a plural form, but he's saying, but I want you to notice in the scripture, it's not many, it's one. Now, what is Paul getting at? What Paul is saying is the real focus in the Abrahamic covenant was never many seeds, it was always one seed. So let's go back and let's look at the seed of Abraham in the scripture. Now, if I were to throw out and say to most people walking around today that have had any reference to Christianity, especially most evangelical Christians in America, and I were to say, who's the seed of Abraham? What's the answer I would get back? Well, I beg to differ. I think most people would tell me the Jews, the physical Jews. They're the seed of Abraham. It's physical Jews. Most people I talk to, that's what they say. Who's the seed of Abraham? They say physical Jews. And in fact, that's an answer that's given in the scripture. Look at John 8:33. This is Jesus debating with the Pharisees. We're going to come back to this text. And they said, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. The NIV's used a different word again. It's the same Greek word. We are Abraham's spermos. Okay, that's we're his seed. We've never been slaves of anyone. So they're claiming there, we're his seed that's talked about because we are physical Jews. And many Christians, even if they would say that we are the seed of Abraham being Christians, they would also say that this is a big meaning, Abraham's physical descendants. And that is precisely how many Jews in Jesus' day understood the statements. So if you had asked them, who's the seed of Abraham, what would their response have been? We are. And why are you the seed of Abraham? Because we are his physical descendants. But I want you to see, there's a big, big problem with that biblically. That is not a correct answer. And it's not only not a correct answer because the New Testament tells us it's not a correct answer, the Old Testament tells us it's not a correct answer right from the beginning. Now, how can I say that? The point in the Old Testament is that Abraham's seed is not his physical seed, his physical dependence, it's the seed of promise. Now, why do I say that? Who is Abraham's son? Isaac? There's a problem with that, though. Who's Abraham's first son? Ishmael. If I were to ask any of you in here who's the seed of Abraham, how many of you would have said Ishmael? Is Ishmael any less Abraham's son than Isaac? Did any more of Abraham's blood and genes flow through Isaac's blood and veins and in his genes than was in Ishmael's? Not at all. Now you might argue and say, but Isaac's mom was Sarah. But the problem with that is, did God ever make a covenant promise to Sarah? Who was the covenant with? Abraham. And the covenant in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 15 is before Ishmael is born in Genesis 16. Who's the first physical seed that comes from Abraham after the covenant promises are made and to your offspring? Ishmael. And yet, nowhere is Ishmael counted as the seed of Abraham. Consider this text in Genesis 21, verse 12, and Genesis 26, 3. Notice the Lord speaking and says, this is when Sarah is wanting to send Ishmael away. We're going to see this text later in the book of Galatians, Paul's quoting. She's wanting to send him away, and Abraham's distressed because he's saying, Ishmael's my seed as well. But listen to what the Lord says. But God says to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring, your seed, your zerah, your spermos will be reckoned. The seed that I'm talking about, God says, comes through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And in fact, in Genesis 26, 3, we go on and listen to what the Lord says. See if this doesn't sound very similar to those three references we read earlier. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, your seed, I will give all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. This is the Abrahamic covenant. I will be with you and I will bless you. That's Genesis 12. To you and to your offspring. And again, here the NIV's got descendants. It's the same singular word. God is just giving the exact same covenant to Isaac, because it's through Isaac, not Ishmael, that the seed comes. And so physical seed cannot be the issue if it is Ishmael's the seed along with Isaac. But let's continue on, because the Old Testament doesn't just stop there. We might argue and say, well, but God did speak and say that Sarah would have the son and would come through her. So maybe that's the difference between Isaac and Ishmael. But Isaac has a wife. Who's Isaac's wife? Rebecca. And Rebecca has how many children? How many sons? And they are equally the sons of Isaac and Rebecca. Same father, same mother, exact same genetic material in them. So surely they are both reckoned as the seed of Abraham, right? They are both equally physically Abraham's stock, are they not? But actually, let's look at what the scripture says. In Genesis chapter 28, the Lord speaks and he confirms the covenant promise with Jacob. Does Esau get the covenant promise? He does not. Genesis 28, 13. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. There's continuity. The same covenant I have with them, I'm going to make with you. I will give you and your descendants, same word, and your seed, the land on which you are lying. This is the exact same covenant promise. And in fact, according to the scripture, who's the firstborn of Jacob that should have received the covenant promises? Esau. And lest you think, we won't turn there, Esau lost that covenant privilege not because of any activity he did. Paul tells us in Romans 9, when was it determined who would get the covenant blessing? Before they were born. God said, I choose to give it through Jacob. It had nothing to do with what Esau did. Esau later confirmed that by his own activities. But Paul says it was done this way so that God's election might stand. It was by election that Jacob received the Abrahamic covenant. It had nothing to do with whether he did right or Esau did wrong. And in fact, if you want to look, who thinks Jacob was a good guy? Man alive. Had nothing to do with that. So do you see that the point here is, it's the promise that determines the seed of Abraham, not physical descent. If it's physical descent, Ishmael is the seed. If it is physical descent, Esau is the seed. But yet in the book of Malachi, a tough verse we don't have time to go into, what does God say regarding Esau? Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have... If it's physical descent, folks, he doesn't hate Esau. But according to the election and the covenant promises of God, there's a massive distinction between Jacob and Esau. And it has to do with who's the child of promise. And what this means is this is why the New Testament comes down. And Paul's able to make the statement he does, that it's not all the seeds, it's a specific seed, because there's a narrowing down right from the beginning. And that's what he told Isaac, or he told Abraham, is it's going to be through Isaac that your seed will be reckoned. The seed I'm talking about is going to come through Isaac. Notice how Paul puts this in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Listen to what Paul says summarizing the Old Testament. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. What a strange statement. But what Paul's saying is, being a physical Jew doesn't make you a Jew. Being physically descended from Israel or Jacob doesn't make you Jacob's seed to whom the covenant promises are given. He continues on in verse 7, nor because they are his descendants, his seed, are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. That's the text from Genesis 21 we just looked at. Listen to verse 8. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring, seed. You hear what Paul is saying? Being physically descended from Abraham, does that have anything to do with being the seed of Abraham? It does not biblically. But I want to tell you, if I ask most evangelical Christians, they think it has everything to do with it. Biblically, it simply does. Yeah, I'm dangerous. I'm getting dangerous here because I hope you can see where I'm going to go. Let's look at another verse that says this. Not only is physical descent not a guarantee of being the seed, you can be the physical descendants or the physical offspring or seed of Abraham and in fact be the seed of Satan. Listen to Jesus' controversy with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. I'm just giving you some verses of excerpts here as they're going, but I want you to see how the terms descendants and children are being used here by Jesus and the Pharisees. Starting at verse 33, the Pharisees answer and say, "We are Abraham's descendants." That's the same word, seed. "And have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus here says, "I know you are Abraham's descendants," his seed, same word. But you're going to see Jesus is using this here in a physical sense. You're the physical seed of Abraham. Because listen how the conversation goes. Down in verse 39, the thing is degenerating further. And they say, "Abraham's our father," they answered. And Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, then you'd do the things Abraham did." And by verse 44, it's degenerated to the point, what does Jesus tell them? "You belong to who?" "Your father." And who's your father? It's not Abraham. It's the devil. Physically, who are they? The seed of Abraham. Spiritually, who are they? The seed of Satan. Do you see? Physically, they're pure stock. Physically, they're the seed of Abraham. Spiritually, they're not only not the seed of Abraham, they're the seed of the serpent. Exact opposite of the seed of Abraham. That's an amazing statement that Jesus makes there. And that's why Paul understands this doctrine the way he does. And so now let's go back to our text. What Paul is saying here in Galatians chapter 3:16 is that Christ is the true seed of Abraham. He's saying it was never reckoned physically. This was never about physical descent. It was never about all these millions of people out there who are physically Jews right now. It was always about one seed who was going to come, who was truly the seed of promise, and all other seeds were only a type and a shadow of him. Notice how Paul says this in Galatians 3:16 and 19. In verse 16, again, our text, he says, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." That's those promises we looked at. "The scripture does not say, and to seeds," meaning many people, "but and to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. According to this verse, what Paul is saying there, who is the promise really spoken to? One person. According to Paul, in this verse, is the promise really given to Isaac? No. Is it given to Jacob? Moses? David? The Pharisees standing around Jesus? Who is it given to? Christ. Look down in verse 19. He continues on. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. Now the NIV has to whom the promise referred. Even if you take the Greek this way, who is the seed that was talked about in Genesis 12 according to this verse? Jesus. The law applied until Jesus came. If it meant Isaac, then how long did the law apply? Until Isaac came. The only problem was, when did the law get here? About 500 years after Isaac. So we have a little bit of a chronological problem if it was Isaac. But it doesn't. It means Christ. The literal Greek is actually had to whom the promises had been made, is what the literal Greek says. It's not that it referred to him. In other words, who was God really making covenant with when he was speaking to Abraham? Christ. He's making covenant with Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying the promise was really about the one who was to come. And the law was just an intermediate thing that was put here. In fact, if you remember from the scripture reading, it was to lead us to that seed. It was to point out who that seed was. But it was all about the seed. And this should not be surprising, because when God raises up a prophet, who does the prophet point to? Christ. And the promises regarding the prophets all point to Christ. When God anoints Aaron as high priest, who is it really pointing to? When God anoints David and says, I found David, a man after my own heart, and anoints him as king, who is David pointing to? And when God says, Abraham, I want to make a promise to you and to your seed, who is it pointing to? It's the exact same issue. This is why I'm dangerous. I'm just being consistent, which will make you dangerous and get you in trouble. Let's look at another verse that says the same thing. Acts chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. This is not Paul, this is Peter. On the day of Pentecost. And you, he says, are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring or seed, all peoples on earth will be blessed. This is Genesis 12 and then multiple times afterwards. But notice what he says. When God raised up his servant, who's the servant God raised up? Jesus. He sent him first to you to do what? To bless you. Because who is the seed that brings the blessing? Is it Isaac? Is it Jacob? If you think Jacob would bring you blessing, read Genesis again. Jacob would bless you by ripping you blind. He's not the one brought blessing. It's Jesus brings the blessing. And that's exactly what Peter says. And he says this to a bunch of physical Jews. The blessing that is needed is not only the Gentiles need the blessing. Who else needs the blessing? The physical Jews need the blessing. And it comes through Christ. So Christ is the seed who the Old Testament refers to. Always, he is the focal point. Now, is there a sense in which Isaac is the seed? Yes, just like was Aaron truly a priest. But Aaron's priesthood served only to function to point towards Christ. And Aaron was a priest because Christ was a priest. That if Christ wasn't priest, Aaron couldn't have been priest. If Christ wasn't the lamb, could those little lambs that were sacrificed every year have covered your sins for a year? No, they were efficient only because of the true lamb. The seed of Abraham in the Old Testament, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, they were only the seed because of the true seed. That's the only way they were. And so what the New Testament then teaches is the church is now the seed of Abraham through Christ. It is we who are the seed of Abraham. Now, why do I say this? Let's look at some verses. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 6 and 7. This is in that same chapter we've been looking at. Paul writes, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is Genesis 15, 6. This is where we just read before, go out and count the stars. That's your offspring. They're going to be like that. The next verse says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And listen to what Paul says. Understand then that those who believe are the children of Abraham. What's Paul saying? When Abraham looked up and counted the stars, who was he seeing? You and me. Rich Mullins has a song. He says, I think when Abraham looked up there and saw the stars, one of them was lit for me. And that's the way it is. If you are a believer, when Abraham was counting the stars, figuratively, he was counting you. Because it's those who believe that are the children of Abraham. And those who do not believe are not the children of Abraham, regardless of their descent. Let's look at another verse that speaks this. Galatians chapter 3, 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, same word, and heirs according to the promise, or heirs of the promise. We saw last week that one of the key issues in sonship is, what do sons get from their fathers? The inheritance. They receive the promised inheritance. According to Paul here, who receives the promises of God? Who's the heirs of the promise? It's the seed of Abraham. And who's the seed of Abraham? Those who are in Christ. Now let me carry this further, because you ought to be able to ask the next question. Who are not the heirs of Abraham? I want to hear everybody say it. What if I'm physically Abraham's offspring? That does not enter the equation, folks. It's not that it's a minor part of the equation. It has nothing to do with the equation. And the reason is, if it did, then who should be the chief heir of Abraham? Ishmael. Who are Ishmael's descendants in the earth today? The Arab nations. If it's physical descent, then it's the Arabs. If it's not the Arabs, it's not physical descent. It's those who are in Christ. Now let me show you a text that shows this. Galatians 4, 22 to 31. Now this is small because I had to fit it all up here, but I want to talk about a few key phrases here. Now listen to how Paul does this, and I want you to see how Paul responds to this. It's an amazing passage. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman. Who's that son? Ishmael. On this side we have Ishmael. And the other by the free woman. Who's that son? Isaac. So he's setting up a difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Now listen to how he does it. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way. How did Ishmael come into existence? Abraham slept with Sarah. Sarah got pregnant. Hagar. And Ishmael was born. But listen to what he says. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. Because remember, Abraham and Sarah could not conceive. How did they conceive? Remember, God showed up and said, this time next year, Sarah will conceive and you'll have a son. And so Paul says their conception was two different ways. One's just a normal, ordinary conception, happens every day. This one came about because God promised a conception. Different things. Then he continues on. These things may be taken figurative, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. What do we get from Mount Sinai? The law, Torah. Who are the people of the law? The Jews. Okay, one's from Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the covenant from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, who was Hagar's child? Ishmael. So those who are with Mount Arabia are Ishmael. Now listen to what he goes on. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem. Where was the present city of Jerusalem? In Palestine. And he says, and who is that? Which side of the equation? Is this Isaac or Ishmael we're talking about? Ishmael. And he says, because she is in slavery with her children. So, the people who are associated with the law, associated with Jerusalem, according to this analogy, who are they of Abraham's sons? Ishmael. How do you think the Jews like this? Do you hear what Paul's saying? I don't care if you came from Isaac. If you're not a believer, you're Ishmael. That's who you are. Because you're in Jerusalem, you're in slavery. Same language Jesus used with the Pharisees, you're slaves. Paul's picking up here. Now listen how he continues on. But the Jerusalem that is above, the new Jerusalem, is free, and she is our mother. Who's the new Jerusalem he's talking about here in this text? Who's our mother? It's the church. The church is your mother. She is free. And listen to what he says. For it is written, be glad. We'll skip down to verse 28. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Now in verse 28. Now you brothers, he's speaking to Galatian Gentiles, you brothers are like Isaac, children of promise. These are born in the natural way. They're just natural born people. You're children of promise. And listen to how he continues. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way, who's that? Ishmael, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. Who's the son born by the power of the Spirit? Isaac. And if you go back and you look, Ishmael played and sported, made fun of Isaac. Paul says he was persecuting him, basically. And he says, and it's the same way, notice in verse, at the end of verse 29, it is the same now. Now let me ask you, who are the only people we have a record of in the New Testament persecuting Paul and the believers? The physical Jews. When the New Testament was closed, we don't have any record of the Romans doing it yet. Paul was never persecuted by the Romans. It was always the Jews. And what he says is, it's just like Ishmael then did what to Isaac? He persecuted him. And what's Ishmael doing to Isaac today? Same thing. Who's Ishmael according to this analogy? Jews who don't believe, or actually anybody who doesn't believe. And who's Isaac according to this analogy? Anyone who believes. And notice what he says then. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, but still the slave woman's son will share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Is that what it says? What happens? Will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Does Ishmael have any right to the inheritance? No. This is why at this point the guy was pitching a fit and wanted to choke me. I'm just reading the scripture. And then he goes on and he says, therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Paul's writing this because Judaizers had come into the church at Galatians and said, if you really want to be spiritual, you got to start keeping Torah. You got to be a Jew. Then you can get the blessings of Abraham. And what Paul is saying is, not only will that not lead you to the blessings of Abraham, but if you're doing that, you're Ishmael, not Isaac in the first place, and you're going to be gotten rid of and you get no inheritance at all. Not that you get an inferior inheritance, you don't get any at all. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? One last verse that we will look at here. Tim, if you can put up the next one. Romans 9, 6 through 8. Again, this is the passage we looked at a few minutes ago. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring or seed will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but who? The children of promise. Does that phrase sound familiar? The same writer just wrote it in in Galatians chapter 4. Who are the children of promise that are regarded as Abraham's seed? Believers. And if you are not a believer, then are you Abraham's seed? You're not. I'm belaboring this point because I'm telling you, if you read again, if you go out and you pick up Left Behind, is this what Tim LaHaye teaches? Who's the seed of Abraham according to the whole Left Behind series? It's physical Jews. I'm saying, read your Bible, man. It's not physical. It never was. From Genesis chapter 16 on, it's never been physical. It has always been about who is the seed of promise. Now, let me bring this down. What does this mean for us? This is a very important topic. This isn't some little bit of silly theology that we just like to talk about. This is key because Abraham's seed is central to the biblical covenants. If you don't understand Abraham's seed, you can't possibly understand the biblical covenants. And covenant is central to everything God is doing. So, I mean, if you miss it here, you're getting in big trouble. You're really going to get off into some bad territory. This is very, very important. The seed of Abraham is the one who receives the promises of God. Not some, all of the promises of God. And the seed of Abraham is the one who confers those blessed promises on others. So the key question, in a sense, biblically, because the gospel is one of the blessings given to Abraham, the key question is, who receives that and confers that? And who is Paul's answer? Jesus is the one who receives that and confers that. Christ is the seed of Abraham. It is not physical descent. It never, ever was. Read your Old Testament. Read your New Testament. It is not physical descent. If it was, then Ishmael brought the blessing to the nations. But it's not. It is Christ who is the seed of Abraham. Paul says he's the one received the promises, and Peter says he's the one that passed on the blessings to us. And what that means for you and for me is, who in this room is the seed of Abraham? Are you some sort of, but surely you just mean you're the spiritual seed. You know, you get some of the stuff from Abraham, right? No, all of it. Abraham doesn't have this kind of seed and that kind of seed. There's one kind of seed to whom the promises are made, and that is you. You are not a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. God does not have another bride. Who is his bride? The church. He's not a bigamist. He doesn't have another bride hanging out there that he's going to pick back up when he pulls the church back out, which is what you have to believe if you believe the covenant promises are still standing with the physical nation of Israel. They are not. They belong to the church. To be the seed of Abraham, where do you have to be? In Christ. Because all the covenant promises belong to him. If you are in Christ, how many of God's promises do you have? All of them. And if you are outside of Christ, how many of God's covenant promises do you have right to? None. But what if I say I'm Abraham's physical descendant? You're Ishmael. Biblically, that's who you are. The issue is not physical descendant. Are you the child of promise? Are you born of the Spirit? Has God entered into covenant with you? And if you are in Christ, look at this last verse up here. Tim, put up 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, does this include all the promises to Abraham? The promises to Moses? David? How many of the promises are included? All. No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes. Where? In Christ. Let me ask the flip side of this. How many of them are yes out of Christ? None. Who in here wants to be an heir of God? See, I'm thankful I'm my dad's heir, and so that means I get some blessings and I get some good things, and that's good. But let me tell you, I've seen the estate. This estate is not anything to be compared to the estate of God. And my poor children, we don't even want to go there, what's going to be left for them. Okay? You are an heir of God. Not a second-class heir, not of a few things. The whole estate is given to you, not because you're good, because you're not. Not because you kept the law, because you never could, but because you're in Christ. And God looks and says, when I see Greg Younger, I see Christ. He's in Christ, so the whole kingdom is his. What he needs is his. When I look at Jessica Monza, I'm about to de-inherit her over here. When I look at Jessica Monza, I see Christ. She gets the kingdom. Not because of what she did this week or didn't do this week or she memorized enough scripture, because she's in Christ. Man, that is good news for every one of us. And trying to write some sort of silly theology that reserves certain parts of the promises and say, well, they don't really belong to us because I'm not physically descended from Abraham, misses the whole point of scripture. You are the child of promise. When Abraham counted the stars, he saw you. When God looks in Christ, he sees you. And every covenant blessing he has belongs to you. And it's not by law, it's by faith. That is good news. I mean, if that doesn't make you want to jump up and shout and do a jig, I got nothing to offer you. Go home. Because that's as good as I got. Because you are in Christ. Remember last week's scripture, who are you joint heirs with? Christ. Is there anything? Can you conceive of a way that the Father would look to Christ and say, I keep this part of the kingdom from you. You can't have this part of my inheritance. You are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever God signs over to him, he has signed over to you. Man, that is good news. That is the gospel. that Paul says was preached to Abraham. Jesus is the true seed of Abraham. If that makes me dangerous, I'm dangerous. And I like being dangerous because I want to be an heir of the promise of God. Let's pray.